Well, if you have been like me growing up and you've gone into the city, you may have looked up and seen these massive skyscrapers and just begin to wonder and be amazed at how these things could have possibly been built and how tall they are and where are the tallest buildings in the world? Where are the tallest buildings in the city of Philadelphia? I looked up in the city of Philadelphia. It used to be one Liberty Place. It was 945 feet tall, but then Comcast moved in and they decided to build it just a little bit taller, right? Perhaps they wanted to make a name for themselves. 972 feet in the city of Philadelphia. In the world, or in the United States, we have the One World Trade Center building is the tallest in the United States, and it stands at 1,776 feet. I wonder why they chose that number. Yes, 1,776 was intentional. And then I remember when Cindy and I went to visit our daughter Becca in Thailand a few years ago, we went to the tallest building in Thailand, which was 1,030 feet. It was amazing. We got to stand up there. There was a glass floor we got to go out on. I was scared to death, but we didn't fall. We're good. But you know, the largest, the tallest building in the world is in Dubai, standing at 2,717 feet. I cannot imagine. That's massive, right? And what is it that compels people to build these tall buildings? Well, it has a lot to do with money, a lot to do with pride, power, and prominence. And as we continue our series this morning, we will see that it did not take long for humanity to plummet further into sin and rebellion against the Lord. And as we continue our summer spiritual heritage series, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. So I would encourage you to open up your Bibles or one of the church Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 11, verses starting at verse 1. And I would encourage you to please stand with me if you're able as we honor Christ and his word. Follow along as I read. This is God's holy, inerrant, life-giving, and life-transforming word. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word. Would you please pray with me? Father God, we come before you. We thank you as you have invited us into your presence as your people. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be reminded that your word is true. It is your spirit who speaks to us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that we would have listening ears, that we would desire to listen to you and have our lives transformed and be made further into the image of Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we go back into God's word this morning, we see that the Lord gave mankind a gift of words, a gift of speaking a language. It was great hearing Scott speaking in Japanese. And And I think he's also going to be speaking in Hebrew soon. We ought to give thanks to the Lord for Scott completing summer Hebrew. And he's pretty confident he has passed. They might get an A in the class, so this is awesome. But yeah, this is one thing that God has given us. He gives us this gift of language. It says in verse 1, now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And we might begin to ask ourselves, what is the purpose for our words? What is the purpose for our words? God created our words, these words he gave us for several things. He created words first and foremost that we would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So God gave us words for placing our faith and trust in the Lord. He gave us words for placing our faith and trust in the Lord. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God gave us words that we would repent of our sins and place our faith and trust in Christ alone. And God calls us to confess our sins, to agree that we are sinners, to admit that we are sinners, that we need to be saved from our sin. We need to trust that Jesus is the one who is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. But as we have been given the free gift of faith to confess that Jesus is Lord, God has also given us the wonderful privilege to use our words and language for prayer and for praising the Lord. So he gives us words for prayer and for praising the Lord. God has granted his children the privilege of coming before his throne of grace, confessing and casting our cares and concerns and our praises before him. God is ever more ready to hear us than we are to pray, isn't he? There's nothing, however, too small or too big that we should not be willing to share with our Heavenly Father. He already knows our needs, and yet he wants to hear from our heart and from our lips of his people. And we also know that God created words for proclaiming the good news of Jesus with others. God created words for us to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ with others. If you are a believer, then you can thank the Lord that someone proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. For me, it was my mother, it was my pastor, it was my Sunday school teacher and brother. Perhaps for you, it was a relative or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed when you attended Camp Treasure Island Vacation Bible School. Or maybe it's when you heard the gospel shared at Kids Club. And we can be thankful that people took the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with us. And so as believers, we have that same privilege and we have that same responsibility to proclaim the gospel with others. We can do it in our homes, here at church, in our community, and where we work. What a blessing we have that God has given us his word, that we would share it and use it for his glory. And yet we know that we, along with mankind, abuse God's words by rebelling against him. Mankind abuses words by pushing God away, don't we? We abuse God's words by trying to push God away. People push God away in their sinful rebellion and their animosity. We learn in Romans chapter 9, verse 7, it says that the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. In James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Mankind refuses to use the words that God has given to him to repent of their sins and place their trust in the Lord. He refuses to use his words that God has given to him to come before him in prayer and refuse to come before him in praising him for the salvation that is offered in Christ. Not only do we see mankind pushing God away, but we see that mankind also uses God's words by putting others down. So we try and push God away, and we also put others down. putting others down. This is a problem not just for the unbelieving world, but it is for Christians as well, isn't it? When we use words that God has given us to use to put others down, we do it sometimes with slander or with gossip or lying or complaining or more. There's many ways that we can be misusing and abusing God's words. And we also see that mankind abuses the gift of God's words by placing ourselves above other people. We do this by boasting and bragging about who we are. Like, oh, I can speak Japanese, right? Scott, that was good, Scott. I cannot, so I cannot boast about speaking Japanese. But we can. We can boast about all kinds of things in our lives. James chapter 3 says, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise the Lord and our Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And James says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. And we see that the passage continues saying that people began to boast and brag. And we see that they had a plan. The plan of mankind at this time, at this day. The plan of mankind was that they would journey east and that they would find a place in the land of Shinar and they would settle there. And you might ask, well, what's wrong with that plan? What is wrong with that plan? Well, what we see is that they never go before the Lord. We don't have any knowledge, nothing telling us is that they went before the Lord and asked him, is it okay for us to do this? Can we have this? They didn't seek the Lord's wisdom and approval for that plan. And they were actually going against God's plan for them to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. God wanted them to spread throughout the earth. They were not supposed to gather together as one people and settle into one specific area. God's plan was not for them to settle, but for them to spread throughout the earth. And it says that they headed east, which is the same direction that Adam and Eve were sent when they were banished from the Garden of Eden for their sin. And now, directionally speaking, east was not a bad place. We live on the east coast here, right? Although my son and daughter-in-law would say the west coast, the Pacific Northwest, is the best place though, right? But the direction of east, it actually represented moving away from the presence of the Lord. They moved away from having any interaction with the Lord. They no longer called upon the name of the Lord. They no longer remembered that he was their creator. They seemed to forget that God was the one that destroyed all of humanity except for Noah and his family because of their sinful rebellion. The people were trying to avoid the presence of the Lord. They were avoiding his authority and they avoided being submitting to him as their Lord and Savior. They were living their life as they had no need for the Lord. They decided in their own sinful pride and their worldly wisdom that they would travel down to this plain in Shinar. It is said that Shinar is the name of the plain between the Tigris and the Euphrates near the Persian Gulf where the city and nation of Babylon would one day be constructed. It would be the place where God would allow his people to be held captive by their own sinful rebellion. Shinar is mentioned at least 8 different times in the Old Testament, and it was all in association with trials and temptation and being held captive in exile. And yet we will see in our passages that these people were self-reliant. They acted in self-reliance. They would travel to this plain of Shinar, and they would try and make a name for themselves. They didn't care about God. In fact, they were pretty high on themselves. We are able to get a picture of their plan by seeing mankind's progress. Mankind's progress. It was progress in their eyes, at least. You know, if you think about progress and where we've come over 100 years in this life. I'm talking to my wife. We're about our grandparents having no cars, and now we have electric cars. And there was no computers in my parents' day, and now we have computers and smartphones and smart watches and smart everything. And yet we're becoming more and more dumb, I think. But this is mankind's progress. They were progressing. They had this false sense of independence from God and also a unity as a people. God had given them many gifts and abilities that were supposed to be being used for His glory. He blessed them with the ability to think and to work and to create. And it says in verse 3 that they said to one another, they said, "Look, come, let's make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone and they used tar for mortar. And it was said in this area that they would not have had any kind of stones to use. And so they had to create their own version of stones. They created these bricks from the clay of the earth. This would have been seen as profound technology in its time. We kind of, well, what are bricks? No big deal about bricks. Well, someday, years ago, they had to create bricks. And this is what they did. And this was a profound thing that they had. With the creation of these bricks, they would use them and the tar to put them together, and they thought that they could do anything with these building blocks, and they could do anything they wanted. The gifts and abilities that God had given them to be used for His glory was now being used to glorify themselves. And so we see that their so-called progress would lead them to their own selfish pursuits. We see mankind's pursuits. And mankind's pursuits were then leading them to pursuing pride. This is what we're all about in this world, aren't we? Pursuing things, pursuing pride, pursuing ourselves. In verse 4 it says, "Come, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach to the heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves." In their sinful rebellion, they were building for themselves and not for God. We never see them ask the Lord if they were able to build a city or a tower. And maybe that had you reflect upon a time when King David himself thought, you know, we need to build something for the Lord. We need to build God a house. And I remember it says in God's word says that King David, he went up to Nathan the prophet and he told him about his plans to build God a house. And King David said, "Here I am, I'm living in a house of cedar while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." And David was wanting to build a house for the Lord. And that sounded like a wonderful plan, didn't it? Nathan the prophet thought it was a wonderful plan without even going before the Lord in prayer, without anything like that. He said, "King David, well, that's an amazing idea. You should be doing all that is in your heart, for God is with you." How did he know God was with him? He didn't. That very night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan and he said, "I need you to go to David and tell him, 'Thus says the Lord, it is not you who will build me a house to dwell in.'" Maybe David had a right idea. Maybe it was an okay thing, right, to be building God a house. But he didn't inquire of the Lord. Nathan the prophet did not inquire of the Lord. So just as King David and Nathan never inquired of the Lord to build, these people never sought the Lord's wisdom or permission to build either. The people were pursuing their own selfish, prideful plans without acknowledging the Lord. And we know that this was unwise and it was dangerous. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Now, there they were in their own selfish pride, attempting to build for themselves a city and a tower that would reach to the heaven. We call our towers or buildings in the world skyscrapers. Well, they were building a heaven scraper. They believed that they had power to do anything that they wanted. Their plan was to pursue power. Their plan was to pursue their own power. The power that they had were pursuing was a worldly power, though. This worldly power was only temporary and transient. It is only self-centered or self-oriented and has a focus upon the things of this world. We know that buildings topple, don't we? The people pursue power all the time. They want to pursue worldly power. In Acts chapter 8, we see that there was a man by the name of Simon who saw that the Spirit was given through the laying of the apostles' hands, and Simon came up to the disciples and he said, "Give me this power also, so that anyone whom I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit." Well, again, you may think, well, he had a good intentions. He wanted to have the power to be able to lay the Holy Spirit on someone. I would love to have the power to go out and touch people and they would be saved. Wouldn't that be great? Going down 69th Street. Boom, you're saved. Wouldn't that be? But we don't have that power. That is a worldly power. And Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." Just like Simon, these people were pursuing the wrong kind of power. They were trying to enter heaven and eternal life by their own works. They thought they could build a tower to heaven. God's word says in Ephesians, "For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. This is not of our own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast." So there's no pride. The plan was to pursue their own pride and power as well as prominence. Their plan was to pursue prominence. By prominence, I'm talking about being important or famous. If you ask kids around these days, what is the most important thing they want? They say, I want to be rich, I want to be famous. That's what they want. You want to go to school for that? No, I just want to be rich and famous. In verse 4, it says that they were trying to make a name for themselves. By trying to make a name for themselves, they were refusing to acknowledge the name of the Lord, the one who had created them in their image. They refused to acknowledge that it is only by the name of the Lord that they can be saved. It is only by trusting in the name of Jesus that we can have true prominence, whereby we become a child of God with all the blessings of being a child of God. But they wanted to pursue prominence like the disciples James and John did. Remember in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 35, where James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they came up to Jesus and they said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you. And Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do for you, boys? And he said, grant us to sit at your one at your right hand and the other at your left hand in glory. These men, these disciples, were followers of Christ. They started being interested in pursuing worldly prominence and trying to make a name for themselves. They were thinking that Jesus was going to bring about a worldly kingdom. And so as we reflect upon these verses, we need to be asking ourselves, what is it that we are pursuing in this life? What are we pursuing in this life? What are we trying to build for ourselves? Who are you living your life for? Who are you serving? God calls all his children to humbly serve Christ and his church with the gifts and talents and time that he has given to you. It is not about making a name for ourselves. It is about proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. But this was not what the people here were doing. As we continue to look at God's word, we are able to see God's purpose and his plan. We're able to see God's purpose and his plan. We see this in verse 5 where God pursues mankind. He didn't need to, but we see that God pursues mankind. It says, "The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built." And as we look at this section of verses, we need to be reminded that the Lord is omnipresent, right? The Lord is all present. He wasn't stuck up there in heaven really far away. He did not need to literally come down to earth and see this tower. He was able to see what they were doing. But the Lord was making a point about this so-called massive tower and city that they were constructing by this proud and powerful people. And from the Lord's perspective, this tower and the city were in reality very small and insignificant, so that they could not even be seen from heaven, that he would have to come down on their level to see it. The Lord would need to come all the way down to inspect this tower and the city that they were making with these bricks. Perhaps this reminds us of Psalm 2, which says, "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth, they rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break the chains and throw off their shackles.'" The one enthroned in heaven, he laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And in our passage, the peoples gathered together and tried to build this powerful and prominent tower to heaven. But the Lord merely laughs at their futile efforts. But we also know that God is a merciful and loving and compassionate God, and he did not destroy them, although they deserved it. He did not destroy them by raining down sulfur like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. We see that the Lord showed mercy by rebuking them and correcting them for their sinful choices. We know in God's perfect plan that he lovingly pursues his people. Aren't we thankful that he has lovingly pursued you? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, namely Jesus, and that Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him." And then in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among his people." And so we know that Jesus came from heaven, from his rightful throne in heaven as the Son of God. He became a man in order to pursue his people. He came and he lived a perfect and sinless life. He willingly died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, for his people. He was buried in a tomb, and on that third day he rose from the grave, conquering sin and death, so that we would have life eternal. Jesus came to seek and to save lost sinners like you and like me. That is why he pursues us. In our passage, we see that the Lord pursued mankind in order to rebuke them, correct them, and scatter them, and make his plan go forward. In verse 6, it says, "The Lord said, 'Behold, there are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them.'" Well, this verse is speaking of the sinful power of a people who are unified, what they could potentially do. But we have a God who is sovereign and in control of all things. If things were left unrestrained, then they could have done all kinds of evil. But yet we have a loving and merciful God who restrains evil here, and he restrained evil there and all around us. And we see that the Lord pursued humanity, that he created and corrected their evil plans. And in verse 7, it says, we see our triune God say, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech." As I was sitting here listening to Scott speaking Japanese, it reminded of me when I went to Thailand and was by myself in a 7-Eleven and no one there knew English. I'm like, I just need a cup of coffee. How am I going to get a cup of coffee? Well, I'm thankful that my daughter said, "Dad, just point." Point, and they'll give you the cup of coffee. Here's the money. You give it to them, and it works. But it was very hard, because I was like, I even wanted to say gracias, because that's the only foreign language I knew was Spanish, right? It wasn't going to work. I couldn't communicate with them. They couldn't communicate with us. And this is what was going on with his people. This people, they were all one. They were speaking with the same language. They were working together. And then all of a sudden, you can imagine that as they were trying to build this one guy starts speaking Japanese, and this other guy starts speaking Thai, and whatever, Spanish, and they're going, what in the world's going on? And all of a sudden they're going, I have no idea. They're frustrated. Their sinful plans were frustrated, and the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building their city. Nothing and no one were going to be able to stop God from having and completing his plans and his purposes. The Lord would provide all that we really need. The Lord would provide all that we really need. Just like the people in our passage, we all have a problem with sin. We have the sin of pride. We have the sins of self-sufficiency, arrogance, rebellion, and much more. And because of our sin, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot build a tower to gain access into heaven. We cannot do enough good works. If you wanted to save yourself by your good works, the Bible tells us that you have to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. There is no one on this earth that is perfect except for Christ. And that is why the Lord pursues us and provides us what we need by sending Jesus, God the Son, who alone is perfect and sinless. God provided Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty that we deserve. And Jesus shows us that he is the one who has power over sin and death as he rose from the grave, offering to us that gift of eternal life. As Psalm 18 declares, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I trust, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Jesus is our high tower. Jesus alone is our solid rock, not just these man-made bricks. He alone is our high tower, who truly gives us access to heaven and eternal life. He is the one who is building his church one person at a time from every nation, tongue, and tribe all over the world. The Lord has called us to go into the world to over the 100 different languages that we have here in Upper Darby, to the over 350 different languages that are in the United States, and the over 7,000 different languages or tongues in our world today. Can you imagine? And we are called to go and share the word of God with others, the word that he has given to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one day, Jesus Christ will come again, and he will bring his people home to heaven. It will be an amazing reunion. John writes about this in Revelation, saying, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. So our job is not to be building things in vain. Our job is to be building things a part of God's perfect plan. The Lord continues to build his church for his glory, and he uses his people. He gives us his word to share with others, and I pray that he would continue to do that through his people as he builds his church one person at a time, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, we praise you that you are there. You're in the midst of things when your people are pursuing their own sinful ways, when they're building things for themselves, trying to make a name for themselves. And that is what you're doing in our lives. You intercede. You have pursued us, Lord. You're pursuing us. There are people here today who are going their own way, building their own lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would help to pursue them, that you would draw them to you, that you would be reminding them that you are the one true God, that Jesus Christ alone is the one who saves, the one alone who grants access to heaven by giving us faith and trust to believe. Help us, Lord, to be a church, a city on a hill here that would be continuing to proclaim the gospel that others may know and trust in you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.